join me in welcoming for the first Saturday afternoon sessions. Jesse Desrosier, Daniel Yarbrough, Willow Kipp, Jake Lair, and Kaylin Bigknife, who are providing a student perspective on language activism and revitalisation. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to first start off by introducing Jake Lair to open us up with our Sacred Roots Language Society song.
Hello, my name is Jake Lair. This song was composed by a gentleman from Browning, Montana, from Jesse and I's tribe, and he composed this song for Lake Sacred Roots Language Society.
That's in Ikiala, Sacred Roots Language Society. As I was saying in Hawaiian, you know, it's an honor for us to be here today and to present in front of you our group. We call ourselves Sacred Roots Language Society. We represent indigenous languages in Montana and around the nation for teaching our identities through language, you know. And there's no real way to introduce myself without using my language. It's played a key role in my identity and who I am as a person. I am a product of an immersion school, Katsuit Nitsipuksin immersion school that was modeled after the Hawaiians here, and we're very grateful for the opportunity to have to learn and speak my language. And our mission with Sacred Roots is to bring that power of language and language revitalization into the university setting. So a bunch of students and faculty at University of Montana got together and realized there was an importance and a need for indigenous language revitalization and creating space to have students learn their own traditional language and have the opportunities to share it with their community and their families, but also a space to where people can speak freely in their language and understand the language. You know, the depth that language has compared to English is so much more deep. And it's the name of our group, Sacred Roots. You know, we consider at the root of any culture is language. And when we come up with our name, we composed it as a society and a structure of it. So that's why we opened with a song today. So we'll be talking about our model and kind of our goal as Sacred Roots Language Society. As I mentioned, creating a safe space for people to speak and learn our native languages. You know, it's something that's not as emphasized as much in a university setting or in a Western society, but it's very essential to who we all are as people. And understanding different cultures, you know, learning it through the language of the people is really the easiest way to get to know each culture. So our group is composed of mostly students at the university, but it's open to the public. We work and partner with a lot of outside organizations, tribes, linguistics department, and many student groups across campus in University of Montana and Missoula area. But I'll turn it over to my next presenter.
Hello everyone, my name is Keely Bigknife and I am from the small but mighty tribe of the Chippewa Cree tribe of Rocky Boy, Montana. So my role in Sacred Roots is I'm their media specialist, graphic designer, so a lot of my work you'll see throughout this presentation. So what is language activism to Sacred Roots Language Society? So what we believe in is empowering others to not only learn or relearn, but to retain our indigenous languages. And this extends beyond the indigenous tribes of Montana. We're not just like solely focused on the tribes. We're open to all tribes of all walks of life. And we believe that this identity that is gained through this language cannot be accessed unless you learn this language. So we really promote that amongst our fellow members. And we also extend our membership beyond the university level. Danny here to my right is an elder, and so I'll be graduating this coming semester, and I'll be, so technically I'm like an elder in training, so. it's very exciting to also have that membership extended to me as I graduate. So I gave you the kind of the definition of what awareness and advocacy means to us, but one of the ways that we do promote awareness and advocacy is through our online presence. And we do it through multiple platforms. It's not just one. It's almost a sin to just be on one platform today. So we actually have a YouTube channel, and it has our, if you go to Sacred Roots, search Sacred Roots Language Society on YouTube, you will not only have access to our Valentine's Day special, where we say the phrase, I love you, in 10 different indigenous languages, but you will also have access to all the videos from our first conference. And we're also very active on Facebook. In fact, I feel like that's like the main way I've mobilized everyone for our second conference, like all our volunteers, all our donors, and our attendees themselves. So the upper right-hand corner is our second annual conference poster, which I designed. And then we also, on Facebook, we promote other student organizations, activities. As you can see, there was an Indigenous Peoples Day. Was not hosted by us, but we do our best to take care of other student groups on campus. And last but not least, we also do have our own website at sacredrootssociety.com. We open registration for our second conference on there, so we do promote an active presence on our own website if you would like to check that out. And so with that, I will be turning it over to our elder, Danny.
Okay, so as Killian said, Danny, I was a founding member of Sacred Roots Language Society when I was at the University of Montana. I'm now here at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. And one of the great things I think that our society did is we have a unique situation as a student group to access certain resources that maybe not everybody else has available to them. So being a student at a university or student organization at a university, we have the ability to lobby for funding through the university itself. And so we have money every year that we come in, and we use that money to put on community events, some of which we'll discuss a little bit later. And we are also able to have the space to perform these events. So we have access to rooms on campus for free, and like the conference center at our University of Montana we can access. So we're kind of in a unique position to be able to bring people from the community in and kind of host like a gathering space for events that can be used to raise awareness on or about language and communities. So also, we didn't just stay within the university. We did reach out to local nonprofits, and you know, fundraising doesn't always have to be money, right? We can ask for other things. So we often got goods and services, time, donated to us and our causes and our events through various different entities, which I'll talk about here, through community involvement. So we have other student organizations, as Kaylee mentioned. We try to network with other groups at the University of Montana. So the KIO Club is one of our big collaborators. We work every year with them at the powwow that they put on. It's typically the end of April, beginning of April?
End of April.
End of April. And so we would host our fun run with them. But also, if they had events that they were putting on, we would come and either support by volunteering our time, giving some funds. So we networked a lot with other student organizations, kind of build an internal network within the university. And then we also would volunteer not only with other student organization events, but events that were being hosted to the community. So round dances at local elementary schools. There we volunteered at the fair to help with Indian fried bread tacos, right? Sales for that. And then the Urban Indian Health Center would also put on events. We volunteer our time there as well. So it's about establishing relationships between different entities within the community and making sure that we have this nice network built for any future events we wanted to put on. We also worked with nonprofits. So I mentioned the Urban Indian Health Center, and they would donate, for example, lots of water and fruits and vegetables for our fun run. So we had those resources available. I don't like this keyboard, it's very sensitive. So then we also worked with Native Generational Change. They were a very big source of funding for us. And they also, Dustin Monroe's the head of Native Generational Change, and he would come to our meetings, figure out what events we were doing. He also coordinated a basketball tournament that coincided with our fun run at the KIO Powwow. So it means we have multiple entities working together to create kind of a network of events that are focused more on language, but also on the health aspect, a healthy lifestyle as well. And then local businesses, we have Rebecca Goff here, right, with Native Teaching Aids. And she does a lot for Sacred Roots Language Society. She does all of our basically kind of tech support. The I Love You video that Kaylee mentioned, she filmed and edited all that. That video has about 8,000 views for our very first project. That was amazing. And it was actually featured on Upworthy as well. So we have tech support from them. They also live stream all of our conference presentations and then put them on the YouTube channel we have. So it's a great contact and somebody that's not within the university but works with student groups. Also, the YMCA, which is maybe not somewhere you would think to go to, considering the topic of native language, but they were essential in planning our fun run. We had no idea how to put on a run. I don't think any of us have ever done anything on that scale, so having Dustin Bender from the YMCA come over and help us plan that was kind of a saving grace and made it very successful for our first run. And then also partnerships with the community. We try to keep as much of it within the community as possible. So Indigenous artists is one place to really focus that energy. As Kaylee mentioned, she's the graphic designer for the club. She has amazing artwork, but also every event logo that we have has been done by a local artist. So John Pepian did a logo for us. So our t-shirts and sweatshirts are all done in-house with Indigenous artists. And then quickly, I'm going to go over the kind of running short on time. So this is the Beyond Language, our health component that we put into our language revitalization. It is a 5K fun run that is open to all ages. So we have a youth category and an adult category and an elders category. And it's a 5K fun run at the University of Montana campus. And we, so this image up here in the corner, that's one of the local artists, John Pepian. Did that design, and that was the trophy. It was actually, we had a main medal and handed that out. And then, so it's a health aspect about healthy lifestyles, but what we did is posted signs throughout the course that were like cheering, like, go, and you can do it, but in the different languages throughout Montana, the 10 Indigenous languages. So they were running, and it was a health event, and it was a community event, but then language was present, right? Not overtly there, but it was present and integrated into the event. And then I mentioned that Native Generational Change helped us set up a basketball tournament that coincided the second year. So we're just adding more and more layers and more events. So I will go ahead and turn it back over to Jesse to talk about the next slide.
Well, as we stated, you know, in the beginning, we just had a dream of sharing language. And our group wouldn't have been possible if it wasn't for the power of language. For a short period of time, the University of Montana lost the language teaching component in the Native American Studies department, and that opened up a really big door for us to really want to promote language more. And the semester after we began Sacred Roots Language Society, we helped restart the language program at the University of Montana and got the Blackfoot language class. And one of our long-term goals is to have all the languages of Montana eventually taught at the University of Montana. Because we think that it's the most important curriculum within the Native American Studies department. But as far as the run and the conference goes, you know, it was just a dream of sharing language and coming together as a whole. And one person mentioned an opportunity came up for a fun run and healthy living, you know, and our group took it on and promoted a 5K fun run. And the conference came about from people wanting to be able to have a space to share their language experience, what they've learned in teaching language and learning language and being able to share resources and network. And we created somewhat of a bridge to the people who are interested in learning language and people who are trying to promote more curriculum for language. So overall, the power of language has led Sacred Roots to have access to all these things, and we're very fortunate and honored to share our experience with you guys and keep building our network as we grow. And we thank you all for inviting us here. It's an honor for us to speak in front of you guys. So we'll open it up now for any questions, comments, or if anyone wants to throw anything at me, I can try to dodge it.
Hello, my name is Little Bear, but my given name is Justin Prairie Chicken. I'm Pikani First Nations and Stuktaus, but I live in Simch First Nations territory. I have two children, Skunakatopi, Strong Rider, Nihtat River, and and I come here to learn, and it is nice to meet you guys, and it's nice to see somebody from my territory. And thank you. Oh, and I was talking in the languages that I know. Some Blackfoot, some Shuswap, some Sioux, some Navajo, some, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, it's really powerful to hear that. You know, one thing in the university that I always say in the Native American Studies department, we have this beautiful building, you know, $1 million building on campus devoted to Native American Studies. And for me, if it's only filled in the English language, it's a wasted space, you know. The language really is what gives that building power, you know. It gives it meaning with our prayers, with our songs, with our cultures, you know. It's, our language is older than Christianity. It's old as the trees and the rocks and the water that's part of the land. When I opened up my introduction, I started with the Okiniksukwex. Now, for a person who understands my language would see as I'm saying hello to my relatives, but when you understand my culture a little bit more and the ceremonies that go with it, I'm acknowledging all life and all the essence of life, you know, that's connected to me. So not just the humans, but the rocks, the trees, and the water, and that we're all connected, you know. And I think as indigenous people, one of the things that makes us indigenous is a connection with our landscapes. But like I said, those landscapes are older than English itself. So it brings life to them, to understand them and within the language that was given to us. But I'll open it up for the next question. Or be ready to dodge.
Can I ask, have you found since the formation of the society that the reception that languages are getting within the University of Montana has improved, or was it favorably disposed beforehand?
I think it's improved, if anyone wants to add on that.
So the Blackfoot language class, that was, it was not being taught when the club was formed. The professor had moved or somehow was not available. And the university wasn't sure if they were going to bring that class back, if they could find someone to teach the class. And that kind of is what started, I think, Jesse, that was what inspired you to start Sacred Roots and start putting this together. There was interviews with the local newspaper on campus and shows of support that this class seemed to be brought back and how important language is to the university, and that they brought in Bernadine Tallwoman from Canada, to teach. Starting the next year, the next semester.
Yep.
So I think, and the events on campus are well received, they're well attended. So it seems to be well received in general.
So I was part of that class the entire year when Blackfeet first came back, and a majority of the students were like non-Blackfeet and non-native. So that goes to show that. And then a majority finished. It's a two semester course. 1 year. Yeah. So. Most finished, like hardly anyone dropped out, so it was good.
And prior to Sacred Roots, the Blackfoot language that was there was noted just as an adjunct course. And when I started the university, I attended that Blackfoot language course, and I had to petition for it to count as a foreign language credit. And funny enough, my petition got denied. So when we a lot of work from Dr. Mizuki Miyashita over there, worked with the Native American Studies Department and kind of reamped the course to where it is credited now with the foreign language, and students don't have to petition themselves, and it's given a lot more credentials to the class, you know, and it's had tremendous success since it's been brought back. And I think with this progression, it's only a matter of time before other languages present themselves, because I'm a TA in the course, and we constantly get questions from other tribal people saying, well, where's my language at, you know? So I know it's only a matter of time before we get more languages there, which is our goal.
So thank you for your presentation. I think what I'd want to know is if another group is interested in doing something like this at another university, what would be your one piece of advice for them?
Well, you know, as I said, I attended Nitsipuksin Immersion School. One of my mentors, the late Daryl Kipp, and one thing he'd always say is, just do it. You know? I mean, you know, I remember when I first mentioned, you know, we wanted to start something like this, and the next thing it got put in a paper that students were organizing. In our first meeting, everybody was kind of looking around like, well, what are we going to do, you know? And I said, well, I don't know, we'll do something, you know? So then we got to run in the conference, you know? It's the power of language that carries it going, you know, that carries it on. You just can't be afraid to commit. You can't be afraid to try. And I'd say my best advice is just do it. Don't be thinking about how. Don't be thinking about why. Don't be considering if there's a need for it, because there's always a need for it. You know, language touches on every aspect of the culture, so there's not one aspect of life in society today that can't be affected through language. Yes?
I just kind of want to add to it, too, because being in the beginning when Jesse approached me, and he's like, I want to do a conference, and it's anyone to do in November, and it was, August when you said this to me? And I'm like, you want to hold a conference in 3 months? Like, okay. But the thing is that what was great, and what's great about this entire group, is that they're just like, we're going to do this, and then we're going to like use our resources to figure out how it's going to happen. And for any student out there that wants to do something like this, and I encourage this to go to more than just the University of Montana, is like, just if you have an idea, there is somebody out there that knows something to how to help you to do it. And I think I just wanted to add to that, just be like, that's probably what I noticed was really successful about Sacred Roots Language Society,
Yeah.
Is that is pretty much how you guys operated and what worked.
Yeah. I mean, like, it was crazy because we were starting out, and I remember me and Danny were planning a budget because we had to present a budget to the University of Montana of how much it would cost. And it was like $10,000. And so I was asking other student groups, like, well, how much is you guys' budget? And they were like, well, we're going to ask for $2,200, you know, or something. And I said, well, we'll ask for $10,000, you know. So we did, and they laughed at us and gave us three, but we eventually made up that seven for our first conference. So just, you know, it's a matter of doing it, pretty much.
Well, I think
sorry, it's just, I have to allow time for the next group to sit up. So
absolutely.
Everyone could join me in thanking our presenters, and I'm sure if you want to continue the conversation outside, there's a lot of stuff here to follow up on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.